Well, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I really don't know where to start, which means I don't know where to finish, which means I'm just going to share a few things or we'll get lost. Every person but one on our trip got sick, and that person got sick when they got home. And so every person on that trip got sick. And I kept thinking it was some kind of like sinus infection. And it had sort of the signs of a sinus infection, but it wasn't. It was some kind of virus. It had to have been for us all in this one area to catch it. And there were people who were kind of taken out some day or two here and whatever, but we just kept going and doing what we were called to do. And Karen and I were talking about this yesterday, what an odd trip it was, just because of some of that. The fact that we were in five different hotel rooms in Africa and the first five nights, just it was just different. But so many things happen. I think it's probably maybe the most significant trip that we've ever done, that I've ever done. And some of the things that God did in my life, and he wasn't like an African thing he did. He birthed some things and or break through some stuff. And I've said this many times, whenever you're going through intense warfare, it's because the enemy's frightened. He's frightened about what you're about to apprehend, about what you're about to enter into. And so he tries to get you to get discouraged, to give up, to quit, all that kind of stuff. But if you just keep moving, the story of the trip in Africa, if you just keep moving, and we didn't have much choice because the bus kept moving us places, but if you just keep moving, eventually you'll come out the other side and you'll discover there was breakthrough. And I believe there was four of us from here that we're all going to experience a breakthrough because of it. Donna could tell you some interesting stories about how when she got home, she started getting well. In the middle of the night on Friday night, she had this encounter, really, and breakthrough. And she just, as if she had been in this dark place from the moment she went on the trip, and then she broke through that. So of all the trips I've ever done, there have been a lot of them, I've never known one to have such resistance. Yet I've never known one that has such, I think, consequences. Agnes Sanford was a lady, she was an Episcopalian. She was born a missionary to a Presbyterian couple in China, lived the first 15 years of her life in China, but didn't really have a relationship with the Lord and didn't like being over there. So finally at 15, she moved back to the States, lived with an uncle and aunt, went to school, did the things she did, eventually had an encounter with the Lord. She married an Episcopal priest, and God began her on this journey of healing. Agnes Sanford is considered the mother, the founder of inner healing ministry, the healing of memories. She was a hero and part mentor to people like Leanne Payne. And for some of us, Leanne Payne has been very significant in our lives. That was interesting. The guy Trevor, I forget his last name, who gave me the prophetic word, I've learned some more about him, and Leanne Payne played a significant part in his life. But when Agnes Sanford, I think when she turned like 65, she decided to move into the mountains in California, on a house that sat on the Andreas Fault. And she went there because she felt like God told her to go there and pray. And she would speak to that fault every day, that I know that you have to help release pressure on the earth, but do it in just little small tremors. Don't do it in a big shake. And she spent the last 17 to 20 years of her life living there, doing other stuff, doing other ministries, but she was really well known, the hero of all kinds of people, but that was part of her calling. She had this amazing relationship even with nature. She would pray for trees that were dying and they would be healed. And Leanne Payne went to spend some time with her when Agnes Sanford was 80, and they were just hanging out in her house, and Agnes Sanford was just ministering to her, and they were ministering to each other, and then wildfires, as they do, broke out there in that part of California. It was below them. They could see the plains crop dusting or dusting the fire and the chemicals, but the fire was growing, surrounding the cabin, moving up the hill. And so Leanne Payne began to voice some concern to Agnes Sanford because Agnes Sanford seemed to be just good about it. And she said to Agnes Sanford, she said, "Agnes, I want you to understand, I'm not really good about this. And I think we need to do something about it." And Agnes Sanford said, "Well, there's no problem." And so she got Leanne up and walked out on the outside, and she began to speak to unseen clouds. end of the Pacific Ocean, which was near. You could see it in the distance. And within a few minutes, a torrential rain came and put out all the fires around the cabin, where it burned everywhere around, but not her cabin. And Agnes Sanford, Leanne Payne said, Agnes Sanford never showed any sign of concern or anxiety. She just knew her authority in Christ and spoke it, and it happened. That's just one story. Another story, this is called the tabernacle. And here in the tabernacle is blessed sacrament. So there's the real presence of Christ in the wine and the bread that's been blessed. It's the body and blood of Christ. And Agnes Sanford was going to a church to speak, to minister, this Anglican church or Episcopal church. And as they came in the building and walked across the pedilia, the priest, of course, he went by that and genuflected, bowed in honor of the real presence. But Agnes Sanford just kept walking. And so the priest at some point turned and said, you didn't even give a nod. I mean, why didn't you genuflect? Because she was Episcopalian, married to Episcopal priest. And Agnes Sanford said, because he's not there. And the priest was like, confused. And just a couple minutes later, the sexton, the one who keeps the building and stuff, walks up and says to the priest, oh, I'm so sorry, Father. I forgot to put the light out after I removed the host from the tabernacle a while ago. And the priest looked at Agnes Sanford and said, how do you know? She said, oh, anytime he's there, I always see a white light over the tabernacle. Now that sounds mystical, but also sounds very much like Jesus. He did stuff like that. He told storms to stop. He did all kinds of stuff. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. It starts in verse 16. He says, I do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that, and this is in italics, but the part of the prayer is, I pray. Now I want you to hear the way it's written, animal like this. I pray that the eyes of your heart, having already been permanently enlightened and opened at this moment, may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. And this was really ministered to me so much that the eyes of our heart, we have a set of eyes in our head, but scripture says it's with the heart we believe. And so to see with the eyes of our heart is to see how Jesus saw. You see more than you can see with the eyes of your head. It says about us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that if you're born again, you're a new creation in Christ, you don't recognize anybody according to the flesh anymore. You don't just see what you see, but you're able to see from his heart and see what's really going on behind the scenes. Like, why are they doing that? Why are they acting that way? What's really going on here? Jesus said, we read this verse the other day, John the Baptist said about Jesus, is that he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. For he bears witness of what he sees and what he hears. So here's the cool thing. Because I'm in union with Christ, the eyes of my heart have been opened because I'm in union with his heart. And I also have the mind of Christ. So I can hear what he's thinking and I can see what he's seeing and then respond to life's situation from that place. Being in union with Christ, to not just be able to hear a person tell you what's wrong with them, but to see what's wrong with them, to hear what you're supposed to do about it, to see it from his perspective. I asked the Lord about something the other day. I said, Lord, what's the deal with this thing, the situation? And the Lord said, that's between me and that person. And I thought, okay, that was good enough for me. When most of the time he's now saying, well, this is what's happening. And he'll show me things. I'll see things. But that's not being super spiritual. That's normal Christianity. That's the way Jesus lived. That's the way he wants us to live. Because then, see, if you see something, you have authority over it. But if you can't see what it is, you're not sure what to exercise authority over. If you can see it, then you can hear what he's saying about it. I believe that's the place that was the breakthrough. I believe that's what makes sense when Jesus said, I only do those things I see the Father doing. He literally saw. And he says, as I hear, I judge. The word judge is discern. I make discernment based on what I'm hearing from the Father. And I do what I see the Father doing. That's what we're called to live. to make judgment, to discern based on the mind of Christ, but to see things from the heart of Christ. Again, that's not seeing from head. That's seeing from the compassionate, crucified heart of Christ that carries mercy and compassion, to see from that perspective, not from impatience, not from frustration, not from control. That's what union looks like. And that was part of the story when Agnes Sanford and Liam Payne were talking about just different things. And Agnes Sanford mentioned that the Lord had told her that she was going to live to be 88, but she didn't want to live to be 88. She was 80. She wanted to live to be 82. And so Liam Payne says, well, why don't you talk to the Lord about it? Maybe you can come to some agreement. And so she talked to the Lord about it, and the Lord said, let's split the difference. And so she said, I'm going to live to be 84. And when she was 84, she died with no sickness in her body or disease. Amazing little lady, a normal Christian. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.